This is John Pappas. I want to welcome you to our study in Messianic Christology, the Second Coming of Christ.
Heavenly Father, we do come before you right now to seek your guidance in your word. And as we come before you, we just ask that maybe your spirit might enlighten us, teach us something new today, Lord, and teach us something about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last time we looked at the Great White Throne Judgment, and of course that's the judgment of lost, and their names were not found in the Book of Life, and so that was their judgment. So now we move to this judgment of believers. The Bema Seat Judgment is a judgment seat for believers. You know, God offers rewards to believers as a recognition of whatever faithfulness may be shown to him in service, I don't know how many people have heard, maybe you've preached a sermon on rewards, or maybe you have heard about rewards in a sermon, maybe not, because in the Protestant denominations, rewards are kind of kept low. Rewards are not normally taught in the Protestant churches. Luther was an Augustinian monk. And so Luther would say that your faith was a gift. And so all glory was to be given to God. And so you see the idea of rewards, you know, kind of giving us some of that, sharing in some of that glory. So it's not that Protestant churches all accept rewards. There's really not a conflict whether or not rewards for the believer exist, future rewards. But it's more the aspect of glory. Who do you give the glory? And we just, as Protestants, want to give God the glory. So a lot of reward teaching is kind of pushed down a little bit and is not really, you may not have heard much about rewards in from the pulpit. And that's the reason, because we do desire to give God all the glory. But let's take a look, get right into this judgment seat of Christ for believers, the Bema Seat. And so in Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 13, it says this: "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat." And you see I've given you the Greek there, the Bema. "The judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." That's one of the basic, these are the two basic scriptures. And then 2 Corinthians 5, verses 7 through 11. "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So this basic concept that we talked about last time about where do you go when you're a non-believer? You go to Hades. And where do you go when you're a believer? Your soul goes to be with the Lord, your body to the grave. Verse 9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear," look at that, "before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known of God, and I also trust we will know, we are well known in our conscience." So with verse 14, Romans 14, we find all believers given an account, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we see a couple of things. One of which is we are confident. Look at that. We are confident that we are absent from the body, present with the Lord. That should serve as a confidence, a trust, that when you die, you are in the hands of God and you will be with God forever. That's what a new life means. So upon physical death, you go to be with the Lord. And the second thing is that God offers to the lost salvation, and for the faithful service of the saved rewards. So salvation is a free gift. You know, it's by grace you have been saved. While rewards are earned. They're earned by works. Rewards are separate from blessings. You know, blessings are the result of obedience, while rewards are future. Salvation's present, rewards future, blessings at any moment. That's the big, that's the idea here. Look at this note on the Bema seat. Here's what the dictionary says, a raised place mounted by steps. And so Herod built this structure resembling a throne at the at where he was. And when he, you can either be at games or you could be a general judgment seat. It could be a judgment seat of a judge in a legal proceeding. There's nothing really special about this, but a lot of times when we're talking about the Bema seat judgment for rewards, the idea of the games, the Olympic Games, comes out as a raised throne where you could sit down or you can stand and watch the games and the players. That's kind of the idea. But it's really a general idea of a judgment seat where somebody has authority to judge over over things. And that notes the official seat of a judge. The throne, Christ before Pilate, for example, is that Bema seat. Well, what about the time of the judgment? The time of the judgment for believers is at the resurrection of the righteous. Sometimes it's referred to as at the time of the rapture. So in other words, we're not going in order here, but since we covered the great white throne judgment last time, we'll look at these. Look at Luke chapter 14, verses 13 to 14. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. That is the time in which we will be judged, if you will, the resurrection of the just, or the righteous. Look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. So there is a proper time to have these judgments, and they come from God. They will be future. And then 2 Timothy 4, 8 says, finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. There's a special crown for those who love his appearing. This is, you know, this is not the great white throne judgment. At the resurrection, the just will appear before God. And it's usually referred to at the time of the rapture, but at his appearing. And that's his appearing is usually referred to as the rapture time, the time of the rapture, or so forth. So let's now look at the basis for the judgment. The basis for the judgment. First, you have the non-issues. What are not issues, or the things that aren't going to be judged? And that's probably the big point. Look at John chapter 5, verse 24. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. There is no judgment for the saved, for those, for the salvation issue. Look at the next one, Romans 5, 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood. Look at that. Salvation's not an issue here. This is not a salvation. You're justified. You're declared righteous because of his blood. We shall be saved from the wrath through him. So that this judgment does not concern salvation at all. And then the 1 Corinthians 3:15, if anyone's work is burned, look at that, your works can be burned up, he will suffer loss. And it is loss. It's a tough, tough loss. But he himself shall be saved. Look at that. Yet so as through fire. So you're saved. This judgment seat, the Bema seat of Christ at the resurrection, has nothing to do with your salvation, but it does have to do with your works and your attitude concerning those works. So the sin of unbelief was judged at the cross. That's a done deal. So these works can be burned up, but never salvation. Look at the good works, John chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have done what they have done in God. Works done for the glory of God and in his name. That's the big idea. Do we do works for ourselves? Or do we do works in the name of God to bring him glory? Look at the next section. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 2 through 5. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing, look at that, your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as we know what kind of men we are among you for your sake. And then the next one, 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There it is again. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Look at that, good or bad. I've given you the note there under the bad. That's the Greek kakos. It's evil or bad. But in essence, it has the idea of a mode of thinking, feeling, or acting. So it's a, in a bad sense, a moral sense, in your mode of thinking, feeling, or acting. You do it in the wrong, with wrong intention, wrong motives.
And again, this is the Bema seat, right?
This is the Bema seat. This is not the great white throne. This is for believers, right?
This is a key verse here.
This is one of the, yes, the communes loci, the central passages.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Notice within here, let's look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, by the way, is great. I mean, we get most of our doctrine of rewards from Corinthians. It's just incredible. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time till the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things in darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one's praise will come from God. And then Philippians 1, 9 through 11, and this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Look at that, the fruits of righteousness. Those are the good works, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Look at that. Your fruits of righteousness. The result of your salvation should be fruit. It should be revealed through fruit. And they should all be to the glory of God. That's why our churches generally don't teach a lot about rewards. Because we in the Protestant tradition, you know, starting in Augustine in year 300 and coming up through Luther, we give glory to God. Look at the next one, Philippians 2, 8 and 9. This is incredible. For grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. You can't work. Your works do not earn salvation. But look at the next one. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. But this is the next thing. This next phrase is incredible. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow. How big is your God? How big is your God? He prepared your works before. And in this, in the context here, it's really before the foundation of the world. The same, you go back to chapter 1. He chose you, he predestined you before the foundation of the world. And he continues this thought here. Beforehand, your works. Is it any mistake that whoever shared the gospel with you shared the gospel with you? That was planned before the foundation. How big is God? How big is your God? That's incredible. To me, that is just incredible. Even your works planned beforehand, and we share the gospel with somebody, and we don't even know what happened. A lot of cases, did it get accepted? But
one
God
waters,
knows.
One plants, one waters. Who knows where you are in that whole
in that yes
stream?
It's incredible. How big is God? Wow. Let's continue, because we can lose our rewards. Let's look at losing rewards. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Ooh. Can your works just be all burned up? Look to yourselves. 2 John 8. Look to yourselves, that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward. A full reward. Wow. Yes, that's an exhortation to examine what you do. Look at the next one, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race... Again, this is 1 Corinthians. That really, our doctrine of rewards should come from 1 Corinthians. Those who run away a race all win, all run, but one receives the prize. Just one. Run as such a way that you obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we, for our imperishable crown. Look at that, imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it to the subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Not for self-glory, vain glory, but God's glory. That's how the work should be. And then Philippians 1:15-19. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from good will. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So what we come to is the idea of crowns. Now, the idea of crowns and the doctrine of crowns is, you understand that crowns are not a real crown. We understand it. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor. The perishable crown is okay. You get some reward, is money, whatever. But we have an imperishable crown. Look at this first one. This is a crown of a good wife. This is Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is a crown to her husband. I used to love this. I forgot this until I saw it the other night. And I used to just say this all the time because my wife was my crown. It was just incredible. But she who causes shame is like a rottenness in his bones. Oh, so a crown here, we understand this saying, is it's a metaphor. You know, your gray hair can be your crown. That's a metaphor. It describes something. And I look at your note. The Stephanos is the crown that he's talking about here. Well, this is in the Old Testament, but our crowns are Stephanos crowns. They're a crown or an encircle, a mark or of royal or in general exalted rank. It's a victory crown, if you will, and it is very different from diadem. A crown, the other crown is a diadem. You see that down in your other kingly crown. Christ did have a Stephanos crown and he had a diadem crown. His Stephanos crown was his crown of thorns. Wow. But so we have this idea as the metaphor definition is the eternal blessedness, which will be given as a prize to the genuine servants of God in Christ, the crown or the wreath, which is the reward of the righteousness. So we're speaking about a metaphor here, these crowns. There are several crowns that are listed here, and I'm just going to cover them real quick because we're running out of time. Just so much to talk about with rewards. And so we have the imperishable crown defined in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 and 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives a prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do not obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. So there's that imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but you know, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So that imperishable crown. So those who really perform like this for the glory of God will receive this imperishable crown. Then there's the crown of exaltation, or sometimes called rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are glory and joy. For you are glory and joy, a crown of exaltation, the love of his coming, if you will, the love of his second return. If you don't love his second return, you're not going to get this crown. Crown of rejoicing. Look at the crown of righteousness. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. Look at that. Loving his appearing. Second coming. Second coming is a big concept of crowns. Crown of life. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And then there's the crown of glory. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Crown of glory, that's for pastors, overseers, elders. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. A lot of pastors may receive this. A lot of pastors may not receive this, depending on how he worked. Mm-hmm. And then there are degrees of rewards, just like there are degrees of punishment. There are degrees of rewards. I've listed the one degree here, which is for teachers. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Stricter judgment for teachers. I want to stop there. We're out of time, and see if you have any comments, questions, observations. There's just a lot to talk about with rewards, but that's not really my subject. The subject is Messianic Christology. Who is Christ? In the judgment, there's a lot of talk about, well, he can't punish somebody for eternity. Yes, he can. That's part of knowing God, who he is. Can't separate love from justice. They're both there. That's why he disciplines those he loves.
I think there's a, you know, you think about spiritual disciplines and 2 Corinthians 9 there, Paul's talking about running a race and being temperate in all things. And I discipline my body, bring it into subjection. I think, you know, there's definitely, I think, rewards associated with that, you know, spiritual disciplines. You know, are you attending church, you know, praying, spending time praying, you know, doing your devotions. You know, in other words, getting yourself in shape, I think, spiritually, like a athlete would. And you think you're going to show up for the event, and you haven't done anything to prepare, and then you wonder why you're defeated. You know, and the other day, I was eating dinner and I was reading this magazine on this guy who had run 50 Ironman runs in 50 days in 50 states.
Wow.
If you know what an Ironman is. You know,
yeah, that's...
marathon, it's a bike ride.
Swim.
And so I was sitting there thinking, you know, I usually like to go for like prayer walks.
50 in 50
yes.
days?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
And he had to travel?
Yeah.
Forget it.
It's insane. And so I'm thinking about, you know, I like to do my prayer walks at night. That's kind of where I have my time with the Lord, pray and take an extended time. And I was like, oh, but it's kind of cold out and I'm tired. And I, you know, I just don't want to do it. And I'm reading this article and thinking, this guy can do this,
yeah.
And I can't go for a 45-minute walk to spend with the Lord,
yeah.
And, you know, things that have eternal value.
Uh-huh.
This guy, what does he get for, you know, probably writes a book and makes a lot of money. But anyway, I get inspired by things like that sometimes to remind myself that, man, you gotta step up, man. You gotta keep in shape. You can't, back off or get lazy.
It's true, you know, but if you don't have some of the joy of the Lord and through your time of worship and allowing God to minister to you, you know, you got to be careful. There's a balance there.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It's not legalistic thing.
If you do,
yeah.
You get into that,
right.
Then you just wear down.
You're
and
right.
Then, and then you know. So you got to. I've learned that too.
No, and that's a great point. But what I find when I do step out and spend time with the Lord, there is such joy.
Yeah.
And I say,
yeah.
What was I thinking? You know, I would have missed this wonderful time, you know, with the Lord. But there's the battle, you know. I have to beat my body into subjection.
Yeah.
It doesn't
want to. I don't
want
to go outside. I'm
yeah.
tired. It's cold.
I don't want to wake up or whatever.
Yeah, right. I don't want to get, you know. And
I hear you.
But ultimately, you're right. What I was trying to come back to, Lord, my righteousness comes from you. It's not just about disciplining myself. So there is that balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't have the cart before the horse, I will burn out. Or I'll get in the cycle of, oh, I miss my prayer time, God's mad at
yeah.
me, I'm defeated, you know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a balance. Yeah. That was a good study though, John. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So much scripture, thank you. Tons.
Let's close with a word of prayer then. Father God, thank you again for your word and a blessing of a promised rewards, and of course we kind of don't know what that's going to look like in the future, but it is a promise there, and we do have a promise right now, a blessing of obedience to you and on a daily basis. So thank you for that, and thank you so much for saving us and the judgment on that cross. What a blessing that is to have. And so be with us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen.